So anytime I'm working with somebody with color, it's, you know, what do you want it to feel? I get asked very little about tell me what's trending. I get more asked about, I want it to be this vibe.
Welcome to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, a show for people who embrace the warm and cozy spirit of everyday living in the Midwest. From the blog Random Sweets, I'm your host, Stacey Mergenthal. Today, we're heading into the kitchen with Wendy Dornick, the color services manager at Hirschfields, which is a family-owned paint, wall coverings, and window fashions company headquartered in Minnesota. Wendy's been painting since she could hold a paintbrush, so when Jason and I started talking about painting our kitchen and possibly even our cabinets, I knew that I needed professional help. Not because Jason needs it, because he's a terrific painter and he makes great color choices, but maybe you can relate to this. It's because I have a really hard time choosing paint colors, like narrowing it down to what I want, for two main reasons. So I'm worried that I'll choose a color that once it's on the walls, I won't like it. And also, as soon as I choose a color that I do really like and it's on the wall and I like it, then I find another color that I'm like, oh, I wish I would have used this color instead. So we're going to cover timeless and daring paint colors, how to incorporate personality into our kitchens. We talk a little bit about painting cabinets, and we even talk about wallpaper and a few fun places to use it. Now, if you've listened to episodes of Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here. And if you're new here, I'm glad that you chose to press play today for the first time. And if you like what you hear, I hope that you subscribe and share this show with your Midwestern friends. Wendy, welcome to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens.
I am so delighted to be here. I love the name.
Yeah, because you said cheesy hash browns, your husband's one of his favorite dishes.
Big deal. I told him that I'm going to be going on this podcast with funeral potatoes. And he's like, oh, so when are you making those? I'm like, well, obviously soon. Better get on that. The woolen mittens part, no problem. But we need those funeral potatoes stat.
Yes. I know this is going to be a very high energy episode because having visited with you in the past for an article for a magazine, and that's partly why I called you, Jason and I are, well, I said to him, I want to repaint our kitchen. We're in the dark brown, kind of a deep red, a golden yellow color from the early 2000s, I think. And yeah. I'm like, I want everything white now. And I don't know what to do. And I'm very overwhelmed and I'm not good at making decisions. And he's more the color person. And so we went to Hirschfields, which is a paint company out of Minnesota, which I really like because it's Midwest, and went there and picked up, I don't know, 8 different sample colors or something. And I'm still overwhelmed. White. And now I looked at him this morning. I'm like, why are these all blues? I don't want blue in my kitchen. Why did I go? So I'm very overwhelmed and I'm like, I want to talk to Wendy. So I'm just glad that you're here. I did interview you for an article for Woodbury Magazine a year or two ago. And you were so, like I said, full of energy. And what I remember the most is you said, I've been painting since I could hold a paintbrush. Yep. And you just know so much and you've just got to be the perfect person to talk about kitchens and color and how to just refresh. And so I'm excited for you to share all this knowledge with us today.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. And I do love to talk about it. And I know we're going to try to keep this episode under 4 hours. I mean, okay, 1 hour. Right. But yeah, there's a lot to say. And I'm lucky enough to work for Hirschfields, where they've got people that have worked there literally 50 years that have all this experience. So if I don't know something, I've got many people to go to get the answers. So it's a great place to be when you're a paint geek. And I'm truly, maybe if truth be told, I did maybe like start working for the company because you get a paint discount, because I love to paint that much. So don't tell my boss. He doesn't need to know that.
So sort of how some people will start working at a clothing store because they want the discount on the fashion, right?
That's right. You want it on the short-ass jeans. Yes.
Well, and of course, in true Midwest fashion, when I first talked to you and said, will you do this episode with me? You and I pretty quickly got on the conversation about food. Yes. And you said, oh, I have your great-grandmother's recipe box, right? And that all the recipes in there are phonetically written. And was she in North Dakota and then went to Wisconsin?
She was always in the Dakotas, I believe. And then my grandmother moved from the Dakotas to Wisconsin. But it was all based on income, and it was based on all the financial things that were going on at that time. So they had a business going in South Dakota. They lost, they were a dray, they operated a dray. So it's horses pulling a wagon, delivering things. And they were trying to, it was, everyone was in the depression. So there was not much money and they were trying to collect their last pennies so that they could have enough to move to Wisconsin where they had some relatives there. So just fascinating stories. They talked years later about if I could just have a couple of those, collections from a few of the drays that I did, we would have made a big difference or been able to buy a different place. So yeah, we could go on for hours about my grandparents, what they lived through, and especially what they did with food. And food is such a love language to so many people. So I do have the recipe box that has my great-grandmother's writing, my mom's writing, who's now passed. My sister has my neat writing in college, but it's not so neat anymore. Some from my dad, and my mom has little notes on there. So there's like a whole bunch of love in there. It's pretty cool. And I would love to chat with you more about that, but we're talking Pete, so I'll switch gears.
And we will soon. And then you also showed me this morning already, was it a 1973 cookbook from
Yes, the
your
big the
elementary?
elementary, yes, and everyone donated it. And the most interesting thing to me about it is, right, some of these recipes we still use today, I remember them, coming to the house and, well, we're going to try this new thing. But every one of the recipes is signed by the Mrs. John Beersdorf, Mrs. Jim Norton, which I think is wonderful. I mean, the community that my parents lived in, the homemakers clubs and all of that was just such a spoke so much to those recipes. But there's some good ones in there too. And if you have any problems gaining weight, we can help you. Really.
Yeah, back in 1973, the ladies, they used to wear, I mean, even our teachers, remember, they would wear nice dresses and their
Yes.
pretty shoes and a pearl necklace. And I mean,
Absolutely.
now we show up wearing leggings and everywhere we
Right. Right. Or even going to the airport was a big deal. People dressed up for it. It's changed a lot
Oh,
now. Yeah, for sure.
sure. First of all, introduce yourself a little bit and tell everybody who you are and what you're all
Sure.
about.
So I'm Wendy Dornick. I'm currently Hirschfield's color services manager, manage a team of colorists that go into people's home and help you pick colors, which is a great thing. I get a lot of calls from people saying, I have no idea what to do. And that is a very common and very normal, and we can help. Like I said, I have been holding a paintbrush forever. My parents built their house in 72 by hand, which is awesome. And got to pick my favorite color of blue, which I actually probably am still a huge fan of blue. And I've just been fascinated with paint ever since. It's an inexpensive way to transform something. And there's everyone has something in their life that they do where they lose time. They don't want to stop and eat or use the bathroom. They just want to keep going. And that's painting for me. Or doing, I do specialty finishes to trawl on plasters and things. The world just is beautiful when you're in that. And I know everyone's got that zone thing. So I've just been fascinated by it forever, playing around with it. And there's so many different types of paint and approaches, and obviously 10,000 different colors. So just kind of delving into it and being immersed in it is just wonderful, fascinating. It's my Disneyland. Just love it.
Most people, we go places and we're in and out of stores and locations, whatever. We don't notice colors necessarily,
Right.
but I bet sort of like a hairdresser notices people's hair style, you probably
Right.
really are paying attention and tuned into those colors everywhere you
Absolutely.
go.
I'm having a conversation with you, but I'm analyzing all the colors that you have in the background there and how you've got this blended together in this beautiful neutral, which is really happening. I'm figuring out the age of your home. I'm already changing the wall color in my mind, and I do this anywhere I go. So I got the blonde going, plus half of my brain's occupied with that. Plus, anytime you have children, half of your brain is still wondering if they're going to put something in a light socket. He's 25. I think we're okay, but I'm still partly there. So there's only just a small part. When I first started doing exteriors, I started noticing what trends were like. Okay, typically the soffit fascia are the same color, but wow, this house did something different. So it's that same thing driving down the road and all over the place looking at things for sure. And it's very personal. There's things that are colors that are very standard, classic, and true, but there's also your unique home. So anytime I'm working with somebody with color, it's, what do you want it to feel? I get asked very little about tell me what's trending. I get more asked about I want it to be this vibe and I want it to feel this way for me. So we kind of work much more with people that way. Like, what's interesting to you? If it's north facing, it's going to feel cooler. If you've got more sunlight in there, it's going to have some more of that warmth. So that general question of how do you want it to feel, that gives you a lot of idea for color direction. And again, if you're pulling up swatches and you're like, nothing feels right, that's understandable. It'll look one way in the store and you bring it home and it's something very different. So I do a couple of tricks with people when we're looking for color. So you're looking for the number one thing people are looking for is that overall neutral wall color that doesn't go too pink or too green or too blah. So I usually have people take a swatch, and I have a color swatch here, but I have hold up a white piece of paper and put that swatch. And don't look at your swatches down on the table because the lighting's different than it is on the wall. So if you hold something up like this, it's going to look very different. And then if you've got white around it, you're going to actually see those undertones. You may think, I have no idea, but once you have white behind it, you're going to start to pick out those undertones and see what's going on. Okay. I also encourage people when they're playing around with color, get some swatches, but then get a piece of tag board. You can, a piece of cardboard works just fine, but most of the stores sell a tag board or even Michael's or whatever, and do two coats. We have sample pints at Hirschfield's that are $10, I believe. So you can get two coats on there and then tape that thing up around different areas of your room. The north side is going to feel different than the east side, and get an idea that way. And I also suggest people bump that color up against their trim. If you put it against a window, that bright light from the window won't let you see so much the color on that piece of swatch. So I do like a doorway, but if it's right next to the trim, your eyes can then go, okay, I can kind of block off the rest of this wall and I can really kind of see what it's going to look like there. And larger swatches help. I know we've got all those little tiny paint chips from our Van Decks, and our stores sell the smaller, or have them available, the smaller ones. And sometimes it's just hard for people to put that together. I've been to many homes where people put many swatches on the walls. I've got three different colors.
Right. They tape them up there. And
right. And it's really hard to, because first of all, your mind wants to put those colors together. Mm. And if you separate them out and make them bigger, and again, if you just do one coat, microscopically, you can actually see the color. There's little tiny, tiny holes in that first coat. So you're going to see a little bit of that color come through. That second coat's going to fill that all in and give you that real true color. So it's going to cover beautifully in the first coat. You're going to think, we're done, don't worry about it, but definitely do the two just to get that vibe. And then yeah, separate them out on either side of the doorway and move them around a little bit and live with them. Another really good idea is how much time are you spending in that room, or when are you spending time in that room? And then kind of look at that swatch at that time of day. And I always joke the kitchen would be like 24/7. So just put it up there and look at it all the time, because you're always gonna be there, because it is like the hub, right? The hub of the house.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying too, and there's a good blog post, if I remember right, on Hirschfields.com about the time of day.
Yes.
And so if you do that, do that piece that you're hanging up, mm-hmm. look at it in the morning, look at it in the afternoon, look at it at night, because it's going to look different.
Yes, for sure. And the other wild thing is things that are outside affecting it. So we have this great story. One of our managers, when he was just starting out in the store, sold paint. Gentleman came back and said, everything's pink. It was a very, very light color. So he goes to the house and it's winter, and this guy's got like a floor length, like red coat. It's like a higher, have you heard the term light reflective value? So a white paint or a light paint is going to reflect a lot more of what's around it. So it was just reflecting off his coat everywhere. He wasn't understanding. And I've had that happen with like the trees outside. Everything's just casting green. Yep. That's very true. It will, you know, just shut your drapes a little bit and take a look at the color that way. But yeah. That light reflective value is something too. You don't hear people talking about it very much, but when you do, it does help to understand. Zero is a dark black. 100 is, you know, white. And anything kind of in between those midtones of 45 to 55, those are those comfortable, livable midtones, which actually are really trending in, that really comfortable middle vibe. We've had very light colors for a while, and brighter colors. And there's a whole color psychology behind the whole thing too. What we've lived through as a country, or actually as a world over the last several years, has really followed with color. So we started out in 2016, 2017, worldwide, a couple of the major companies had white as their color of the year. We were getting clean and bright. We were happy, active, but then we moved into that pandemic. And we just shut down color. We wanted things that were calm and easy. And the color palettes for most of the big paint companies came in very muted, very easy. And then 2023 hit and we're like, all right, game on, let's get individual, let's party. And we had some super bright reds and funky colors. And now we're kind of moving into this year's colors. The years are more blues. And all these things I'm saying are actually about 3 to 4 years behind in the Midwest. We like to adopt things slowly. Mm. We like to take our time about it. We're going to, you know, try this on and see if it really fits for us. So what's coming in right now, our color of the year from 2022, which was more the greens, soft, sagey greens. And we're seeing that pop up on cabinets and walls and just that easy color. And green is such a healing color. And so that was kind of coming out of that pandemic and just kind of feeling very calm and easy. And now we're kind of moving into this individualism. Like, I am just going to make this work. There's a whole bunch of people from my generation, old, Gen X, and that are just saying, you know what? I'm going to make this kitchen funky. They're putting in bigger tiles. They're putting in things that are just personal to them. And that's kind of, I'm going all the way around the conversation here. Hopefully we're following along. But when you start looking at, I really want to change my kitchen. I want to do something. There's a couple of questions that you need to ask. Like, do you want to follow a trend so that in a couple of years when you sell your house, it's going to really fit in? Are you like, you know what? I need to express myself. I want this to be really fun and beautiful. And I'm not concerned by somebody else liking it or not. And we're really moving into this area of adding in color on more permanent things like cabinetry, like trim. And each of those are very personal questions. Like, I've been seeing a ton of really dark green and dark blue on trims, a whole lot of a beige, like a bleaker beige, or just a really mid-tone, easy to kind of a little bit of a lighter beige, as adding in a little bit of color and not such a stark white. Color psychology wise, that white is not, doesn't feel good to us. It's uncomfortable. So this, you know, pure white kitchen that we've been seeing for the farmhouse style, it was accented with a lot of aged woods or things that had some organic feel to kind of give it that balance. We have really moved away. I mean, a white kitchen is pretty timeless, but we're adding back in contrast. Contrast is good design. So we're adding in warm wood cabinets. We're adding in more darker countertops here and there. Just to cut up that really, really stark gold white.
When you talked about adding personal style and thinking ahead, are you thinking ahead for a couple of years when you're trying to sell the house? Or another thing that I can remember you talking about was, is this your last home before the home?
Right.
Before you get sent away to a home, then do what you want to do, because this is going to be your last. So if we're talking about kitchens, I hear that, and you also flip houses. You have this other side too, that you know, real estate value. And we always hear that a kitchen is what can help sell a home. What happens if we do want to just go all out and do whatever we want? How much does that really hurt the sale of a house? The house that we live in is over 100 years old, but it has none of the old character. Through owners over the years, they've gutted, taken stuff out, and there's nothing in here that says this is a cool farmhouse from more than 100 years ago, except for the lath and plaster that's still upstairs in the bedrooms.
Okay. Good times. Good times. The one thing you don't want to be there, but hey, we're good.
Right. But when we bought the house, the kitchen was like a carrot orange. We still bought the house. So
right.
Does it really hurt? Or?
Well, there's a couple of things it depends on. Number one, if everything's cohesive and it's in a beautiful design, even if it's a little louder, it's going to feel right. Somebody walks in and goes, oh, everything is put together. It's great. It may or may not be their taste, but it's put together. If your cabinets are painted and people are comfortable painting their own cabinets, that's not a big change. But if they're not, it may be a price tag that they may or may not want to take a look at to change.
Good point.
Again, that painted woodwork can be an issue. What we are seeing again is just more just neutral it. Make it yours and interesting, but neutral it out just a little bit. So some of the neutrals we've been seeing are more navies, things that, again, those beiges, anywhere from a light beige to a dark beige. When we do venture into color, we're keeping them very grayed out and lighter. So a very soft, light gray blue, a very soft sage, some of the blush tones, like a pink blush tone, just muted down. And if you do bring in yellow, it would have enough gray or black anchoring it to not be like a sunshine yellow. It's going to be something that feels more mustardy or muted down. So again, it kind of depends on, I'll just do a quick side note. I was just looking at this incredible, beautiful home that just went for sale in Iowa. All of the old original woodwork, stunning stained staircase, turrets, incredibly beautiful. And their kitchen was all white. And everyone in the comments could even see that, like, this doesn't necessarily connect. So if you're putting something together in your home and you've got this vibe, like you're talking about right now, your home is this farmhouse, but it doesn't really have that farmhouse feel. How much are you going to invest in? Do you want to start making it back to that farmhouse? Do you want to just start a room at a time and play with it? And realizing you can have a little bit of variety per room, but it can't feel like I've walked out of this very timeless into like, wow, That would be 2014. That's just great. So spending that time to figure out what your budget is, how much time you're going to spend on it. And then just about, what do you love? Like I have no problem going in and like, let's just make this funky. The kitchen's a tricky one with that, because again, it's going to be something that's personal to you. If you're staying there forever, wonderful. If you're not, you might want to kind of back down on it and use more of your creativity in things like an office or a laundry room or your powder bath. The powder bath historically is just make it fun. It's a small room. Paint's not too hard. Wallpaper's not too hard. You can have a little bit more invested in the vanity to make it just alive and some of the other things that go with it. But again, just number one question, if you're staying there, make it yours, make it what you love. And if you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to keep moving on this house for many years, start with the theme in one room and then just keep bringing it to the subsequent rooms.
Our kitchen is, and it's not large, but there's this kitchen that is one huge room with the, I guess what would be the dining room, but we don't have a dining table. We have sitting chairs and our treadmill. It's very inappropriate.
Of course. Who doesn't have a treadmill in their dining room?
That is one huge, one long room.
Yeah.
And then it also is open to a little den, which has the couch and the TV, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to paint big, huge rooms like that all the same, or can you do a wall in a different color?
You do when the spaces are open to each other. So we have like a cased opening, which is example right behind you. You have your access to your next room, but it has trim around it. So anytime you've got that, you can change colors really easy between there. When you have the drywall returns, where it's drywall, you have to like change your color on the edges, which kind of gets a little bit awkward. Most of the time, people are very concerned, I need to have everything match. The funny thing is, when you pick paint colors, most of the time, you're going to find things that actually go together. Your personal taste will actually blend together pretty well. So in the case that you're talking about, you've got this big, long kitchen. It depends. Do you have a lot of light in there? Are you thinking more of a light on the walls? Do you want to go something more powerful? How much sunlight does that room get? Is it drenched in sunlight, or would you like, what's the vibe that you'd like it to feel? So if you'd like it to be just a little bit lighter and creamier, that the next room that you have, that sitting room that you decide that you mentioned, sounds like you could make it cozy if you wanted to, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that same color. Some of the more current homes right now that have, you walk in and you've got a stairway up and down, you've got maybe a hallway, and you have everything open, the kitchen, dining room, living room is all open. Then you're actually looking at one, we call it a flow color. So because it's going to go throughout everything. And that flow color is usually determined by what you have going on in your kitchen, mostly your backsplash, actually, because you're seeing that backsplash countertops, that will kind of connect to that whole flow color everywhere else. There may be room to put an accent in there. You don't have to put an accent wall in, but it's actually a wonderful way to add that personal color. And that's something people look at and go, oh, I can repaint that if I need to. But it just kind of gives you that little fresh added a burst of color. When your house was done, like in the early 2000s, and about that time, it was very popular straw color, this nice rich red that had a little bit of dirt in it. And then this, a green hunter green that was kind of grayed out, gray green, that was on, four different walls in the house. And that was fine. I mean, it was beautiful. Yeah. It really worked. Now you see that just kind of more all over one color. And we've really moved to like, let's just do white everywhere. But that doesn't work in every home. Like if you've got an older home or even a 70s, 80s home, stark white does not feel great in those homes. They were meant to have a little bit of color. So kind of bringing in right now, what we're really seeing is this move towards those midtones and beiges, or even that have slight bit of color to them. A little bit of that blush. That's the daring. Funny thing is, it's actually very livable. It feels really good. But you can't really go, hey, hon, I just chose a blush pink for the house. Probably not going to go so well. You just put it on and go, I love it. And then we can go from there.
And a lot of times the materials or the shapes of things kind of define sort of the time period as well. So even our cabinets that are shaped the way they are, you can tell that those had to have been put in probably the 80s, 90s.
Absolutely. Right. And if one of the big things we talk about is that golden oak, right? When is that coming back in? Well, we're still working on that. But the shapes of those cabinets have a cabinet box, and then the door is not the same width and height of that cabinet box, and more some of the rounded edges and maybe an inset. That is what's really defining us that era. And it really, even if you paint that, it's still going to feel exactly like that era. So there's a couple tricks to that. If your cabinets are in great shape, and a lot of them are oak, they're in phenomenal shape, You can take the doors off, actually purchase different doors that are painted and put those on. There's a couple companies in Minneapolis that do that. They'll just come on out, take off your old doors, put new ones on. Sometimes they'll put those concealed hinges on. And a lot of times the shaker door has been very popular the last few years because it goes the full length of the cabinet and it's got a 2-inch, you know, very square profile that kind of modernizes it and makes it a little more updated. So that's one thing to look at. If you've got a soffit in your kitchen and the cabinets are below, that's a real dating feature as well. So sometimes removing that soffit or adding cabinets up above will really help to extend that feel. Or instead of, you know, the shorter cabinets, going with something that's a little taller on the top of the cabinets is modernizing it as well. So those are some things as far as exactly right with that shape of that cabinet. It's just looking at some real estate, and they had original cabinets in there from the 40s that were stunning. They were don't mess with it. The wild thing is that the height from the countertop to under the cabinet back then was not 18 inches. It was much lower. I mean, I don't even say 12. I don't know. Somebody else might have the answer to that. But I mean, even trying to slide your coffee maker in there is a little bit hard to work at. The cabinets were just lower. So that's the only thing that's a negative. But other than that, they're stunning. They're beautiful. Some of them had slats in them. They're just so cool. If you can find something that still has a stain on it, the funny, you know, things that are coming back as timeless, like the 70s vibe with that big, bold colors. And I was just looking at a tile maker in town too. They're just making patterns, and they go on crooked and backwards. And you look at it, you're like, that is something you would never look at 10 years ago and go, wow, that's going to be the trend. It's going to be, you know, it's really happening. So some of the other things we talked about the materials and things when you're walking into the paint store, we'll get just a little bit on the side here and come back to what you're chatting about. But when you're walking in and you're trying to figure out, okay, which paint do I need to buy for a surface? That's where Hirschfields and other paint companies as well. They're really, really great at here. This is what you're going to need for that surface. And it comes down to understanding what you're painting. So what room are you painting and what is that surface? So if you've got lath and plaster or drywall, it depends on what kind of room it is. Is it a bedroom? Is it a kid's bedroom? Is it a hallway where you're going to kick your shoes off? Is it the kitchen? So we've got like pretty standard suggestions for all those areas. It does vary by region. So in the Minneapolis area, most of the walls are flat or matte. If you get up to the outskirts area, up to, you know, St. Cloud, going up north, Baxter, in those areas, it's a very eggshell wall market. And then you head down to Florida, it's satin on the walls because it's, you know, there's moisture that you're dealing with. So it kind of depends on the walls. We usually recommend like a matte finish for everything. There's a paint that Hirschfields makes that's kind of my favorite that has a platinum ceramic bead in it that actually helps with being antimicrobial, but it goes on and it's so durable. And even in a matte finish, I can scrub off the tomato sauce that I'm splashing on the wall, which I think is pretty amazing on a white wall. So doing that matte kind of just, you want to have a lower sheen. So it starts at a flat. A flat is something it's got so many ridges in it when you look at the paint under a microscope that it is absorbing light and not reflecting back. And you like that because it makes the walls look really velvety, very sophisticated, and it does not show all the imperfections. Sometimes you'll see drywall pops, or especially if you're on a stairway going up and you've got a light at the top or window at the top of the stairway, that stairway wall maybe is made up of 3 or 4 sheets of drywall. And you can see some of those lines. Oh. You have a flat paint that helps to minimize the reflection of the light off the wall. So it basically makes it a little bit more, look great, sophisticated, easy. That's why we do flat ceilings too. Flat paint on the ceilings, a dead flat, just makes it kind of whisper go away. Mm. If you're in a hallway or a kitchen, I usually recommend an eggshell because it's a little more cleanable, wipeable. It's got a little bit more shine, but it's just something that those splashes and things you can just wipe off very easily. I also do it in my own hallways because I kick my shoes off and they hit the walls. So get a little bit of eggshell in there, it's just fine. But everything else, I kind of go with a mat. The other reason, when you're buying a new home, a lot of the painters will use just a straight flat because it's super touch-upable. So they've installed the carpet and they've hit the wall. Oh. They can go with a brush and just instantly, and it melts in. But when you go to a next level or a mat or an eggshell, we call it corner-to-corner painting. You have to actually repaint that entire section because you will see those touch-up marks. So that's another reason why painters start with a flat, but we always kind of move up to the mat. And then the other part is when you're painting cabinetry, you want to understand that surface. And it really depends on a lot of things. And sometimes I recommend, if you don't know the answers, take a drawer or a door front and bring it down to the paint store. because they're going to be able to tell you if it's a latex that's on there, or an oil that's on there, or a lacquer, what kind of prep you want to do for that. Do you want to sand it first? Do you need to put a really good bonding primer? And there's a million different bonding primers that depend on what surface it is. We've got stuff that sticks to rust, not the flaky kind, but actually that's been rusted, or something that's just a really smooth surface that's like a metal, like just a sheet metal. We have primers that are very specific that connect to those things. And that primer is all the money. That's where you want to spend all your time, all the prep. And the top coat that you put on is wonderful, durable, but that primer is really the key. And even with as much painting as I've done, I will bring in my stuff to a couple of the experts that I know at Hirschfields to be, what do you think is going to work best on this? And what's that process? How big of a grit of sandpaper do you think I should do on this? And the other, it goes into the weeds a little more. What kind of brush you're using makes a difference. And I would have never said this before, but I always would buy like the cheap bag of roller skins and just go with that. And then wonder why my watch and my entire body is completely splattered with paint. And since I'm too lazy to take off the watch, I have now just moved on. We sell Wooster at Hirschfields. It's just, they're higher quality. It's actually worth investing in. I sell like a commercial, but it doesn't splatter all over. It's going to give you a beautiful nap. It's just going to give you that right vibe.
What was the paint that you said is your favorite for kitchen?
It's Hirschfields. It's called Platinum Ceramic Matte. I love that. Or it comes in an eggshell as well. Yeah. It is that right thickness. It goes on really well. A lot of the painters I know love using it too. I should talk a little bit about the paint that we use on cabinets. There's a couple of systems for that too. So I talked about the primer being important. Just as important is that they all are friends. So you usually have one manufacturer, like I'm going to use a Hirschfields primer and a Hirschfields paint. Same thing for Benmore. And there's a couple of systems that we really recommend. One of them is fantastic and it's available at Hirschfields is the Benmore Advance. Most of the time in the Twin Cities, when we're doing cabinetry, we're still using an oil-based product. It's phenomenal. It dries beautiful. It looks like butter. However, it's not a very pleasant experience because of the VOCs with it. So you're usually out of your house for a week or two just because it's not. So we have more of the DIY, or a lot of our painters have switched over to water-based, but getting that beautiful oil finish was difficult. So Ben Moore came up with this Advance, which is basically a water molecule around the oil. So it goes on without the smell, but it dries as an oil. So it's got that beautiful finish. So but the key to that one is it's an 18-hour cure. So you paint one side of the cabinets, come back the next day, flip it, do the other. And the nice part about that is when you roll it on, you'll see brush marks or you see roller marks, but that 18-hour cure lets it kind of melt in and gives you that beautiful finish. And of course, this is if you're brushing and rolling. If you're actually spraying, it's a whole different, you can use many more products because it goes on beautifully. And Advance is actually a beautiful product for that as well. But I'm kind of thinking about the DIY crowd that's I'm going to take on my kitchen cabinets and I'd like to do this. Mm-hmm. It will look beautiful. It just will take a little more time than you're probably thinking.
We're sort of in that, the cabinets, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're dated. Right. But it's kind of, in my mind, I sort of feel like it's getting a tattoo. Do you do it? It's permanent. You're ruining something that you can never change back, but you technically can. You can just go buy new cabinets, but maybe like a bad haircut, right? Like, do I get it cut really short because of how long it's going to take to grow back? I mean,
so true.
Do we paint these cabinets or not? For crying out loud, I don't know.
Right, exactly. So you're planning on keeping your home, right?
Yes, until we retire and go to Gulf Shores.
That's right, the home before the home. Perfect. I know. Right. Gulf Shores is beautiful.
Before the sunshine home. Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking of color that you'd like on your cabinets?
I have no idea. See, it's so hard for me. I can see colors I love and go, I like that color. I like this color, but.
Yeah. You know what a really great tool is? Pinterest. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. I have a Pinterest board. I have a Pinterest board that's called Pieces of My Dream Kitchen. So it's just a kitchen board.
That's exactly what you need to do. And what you don't think, post whatever you like, just keep saving everything you like. You'll see a theme. You'll see, oh my gosh, I really like those taller cabinets. Or you know what? I don't mind these bright orange cabinets at all. I think they're fabulous. And I kind of like the funkiness. And I'm going with the hot purple countertop because I do think it's just going to work together. That Pinterest is a phenomenal tool. If you could step back and look at yourself objectively in it and kind of see, okay, I know what I'm doing. I really do like the taller baseboard, or I didn't know that I had this secret crush on 70s, but apparently I do. So comes true.
Somehow I put shag carpet back in my kitchen.
Oh my gosh. I used to rake our carpet, rake the shag carpet.
No.
It was orange upstairs and blue downstairs, 1972. Hello. And we did have carpet in the kitchen. Don't even ask me why, with a family of six and avocado green on the appliances, which I'm kind
of course
thinking right now. I'm kind of thinking. Yeah. And then my bedroom downstairs, we didn't have enough carpet. So we took squares of the orange and blue and made it into a checkerboard. I'm telling you, it's just the height of style back then. So bad.
Well, it would have been. It would have been.
Yes. It was pretty funky. Anyway, so when you're looking through that Pinterest board, you're probably getting a little bit of a, I think I want to go this direction. And there's a couple ways I see kitchen cabinets going. A white. There's a really timeless white that I see. It's actually our number one bestseller at Hirschbund's by three times over the next paint color, called White Dove. So it's a Benmore color. The reason it's so good is it's a true neutral. It gets along with both, you know, warm and cool colors. It's a white without being overpoweringly stark or not too much color. Has a tiny bit of yellow in it. So it's a really soft, beautiful. So that's a very timeless white. Again, if you're wanting to experiment a little bit and add a little more color, an island is a great place to do that, because you don't have to do all your perimeter cabinets. You can just do the island and you can change that later on if you want to. And then the other thing is looking at adding just a hint of color to those cabinets. Just a little bit of a beige. There's a color called Revere Pewter, which is a really huge seller with Benmore. And it's a true gris, which means it's right down the middle, between a gray and a beige. And the reason, again, that works is it's very livable. It's organic. It feels comfortable. It doesn't lean too far in any direction. But something like that could be interesting. If you're interested in more color, or if you want to make it a 50s vibe, 40s and 50s had such cool cabinet colors, just those mints. Some of those, soft kind of a corally peach, yellow, green, in love with all of it. That would be fun. And some of those countertops are coming back, those laminate ones that have the boomerang shapes on them.
Oh, yeah.
So fun. So what theme would you think you'd want to go with? Would you want to make it more farmhousey, or would you want to make it more funky monkey, or?
I don't know. I have, my style in general is nothing matches. And I like that.
Awesome. Yes. We call that curated, darlings.
So my house is very curated from upcycled junk stores. I have a lot of old wood crates, shipping crates that are used as coffee tables. I have a really old, a very vintage cooler. So it's heavy wood. It takes two people to carry it. It looks like a trunk, but it was insulated for a cooler back in the day before refrigerators.
That's amazing.
It's a coffee table. Yeah. So I have a lot of things that are like that just don't match. And
right.
So a little piece here, a little piece there.
That true farmhouse vibe, what you're describing. It has found pieces. It has a lot of history to it. I can see the stuff that you have in the background there too. It's like, oh yes.
Typewriter and an old screen, window screen. Yeah.
And I love that. Is it a feed sack or a sugar sack? And
yep.
So when you're looking at that, I mean, those are also just really warm, livable neutrals. They have a little character to them. They have a little bit of time to them. So you wouldn't want to go with something super bright or super harsh. You want something that kind of just flows and feels really good. Any of those organic countertop feels like, even like a marble countertop that has just that timelessness to it, or soapstone that has age and wear to it, that just kind of continues to patina as you're using it, could be really charming. Going with those authentic materials that are timeless, that have a lot of history to them, or just have that good solid feel. And then as far as cabinetry, if you're decorating with all of these incredible pieces, the cabinets can have, like I said, a little bit of that beige color to them. They can have a little bit of a cream, like a linen white might be very beautiful. I can see you have stained trim. So if you've got stained trim throughout, your cabinets don't have to necessarily connect with that stained color. I mean, you're not looking at a trim color that you have to match as far as the white. So you have a lot of leeway as far as those whites that you would looking at. You mentioned before, maybe before we got on air, that you brought home some swatches and they all felt blue to you. So those are more of a colder whites, maybe. Were they more white?
Yeah, I wrote them down. They're most all of them are the Farrow and Ball brand, but there's Oval Room Blue. There's the Stone Blue, Incra Blue.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I'm saying that. Inchira Blue, Suffield Green, brought a green because I like the greens.
Yeah.
And then there's like the Pale Powder.
Those are beautiful colors. And if they're feeling cold to you, then are you in more north facing in that area that you're looking at?
You know, in the actual kitchen, all we have is a west facing window,
okay,
and
so
it's
you
a
have a west
small
facing.
like window over the sink.
Okay.
In the other huge space that's open, we
Yeah.
have a it an east facing and a south facing
Okay.
French doors. So there's tons of sunlight coming into that room.
Wonderful. And those colors are still feeling a little bit cool to you, even in those
I don't know what
warmer
they're feeling.
environments. Okay. They're just not right.
I don't know. We have to, I think we need to paint them on somewhere, like you suggested,
Yes.
because we have not opened the cans and done that yet.
Go into Pinterest and type in that oval room blue and just start looking. And the hardest part about Pinterest
Oh.
is that most of the time you're going to see a color against a white trim, and it's really going to change the way you feel about it when you have it next to dark trim. So, but at least you can get that. The hard part is when you put that little swatch off, how's the rest of the room going to feel? Is it going to get really caved in? Am I going to, and the wild thing is, I don't think, unless you're going with a straight black in a darker room, it's not really going to start getting heavy on you.
Yeah.
It's still going to kind of blend and go away. And the other trick too, if it starts feeling heavy, I'm a huge fan of color blocking. So only go up part way up the wall. And the cool thing, one of the huge trends that I'm kind of on board with, and I'm sure will be dated, but I really love right now because I'm just going to be on that bandwagon, is to paint the trim and the wall the same color. And I was just putting together my 2024 color trends presentation, and I found so many places where they went up the wall so far and painted the trim, the wall, everything the same color. And then above that, everything was white or a different color. They just cut it straight across. Normally your trim is different than your walls. They just did by a vertical cut all the way around the room, which kind of made it interesting. One of them, they actually had a frame, a picture frame on the wall that fell below it. So they painted right over that bottom of that frame. It was
Oh,
super
fun.
cool. Yes, just
Yeah.
kind of
Yeah.
a little bit of vibe. Interesting. So with
Great.
those colors, definitely doing a larger swatch and setting it up and just kind of coming into the room fresh every once in a while and taking a look at it and go with your gut. If you're looking at it like, I have to make myself like this or try, it's not your thing. You'll know, but
Yeah.
you have the bigger swatch. I will say it's like dating. You're like, no, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very
Right.
interested in seeing more of that color. So you'll
Okay.
know it, and don't force it. Don't think, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
I'll have to live with it. And I think it'll be okay. And my friend says it's awesome.
I have a question about cabinetry when I can see behind you too. So what about taking some of the cabinets down and not putting them back up and doing some really cool shelving?
It's a huge trend, a huge, huge, huge trend. And
Do you like it?
I love it. However, it depends on if you have it, you know, the personality type that doesn't mind if it's a little bit chaotic and maybe your bowls don't all match and your glassware doesn't all match. It's very convenient, very easy. And it depends on how much of it you're incorporating. So it has been a big trend. I think when you lose too much of the cabinetry, and you're having to walk, you know, halfway into another room to get whatever you need for, you know, for cooking, that
Fry
might be a
bacon,
bit of an issue. But yeah, in general, I think it's a beautiful trend. I've also seen a lot of adding in cabinets that have glass fronts to them. That it just kind of showing a little bit, but it's personality type. Some people can't stand to not have everything perfect behind there when you're seeing that glass. And every photo looks amazing because it's lined up, but that's not our daily
Right.
living. So, you know, just having your bowls and your glasses and things like that. I've done that in a couple of our houses and really liked it.
All right, well, we're kind of winding down here, but I want to talk about wallpaper.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Wallpaper is back. And
big.
Tell us about how it's different than what we can remember from the 80s with how not only the material, the method of hanging, all of talk wallpaper, because that could be one spot where you add a little color in your kitchen, right? A wall that has wallpaper.
Absolutely. On your ceiling, in the backs of cabinets,
ceiling.
Like open shelf cabinet. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. The ceilings are a great spot for that. Wonderful. So when you say wallpaper to some people of my generation, they remember in the 80s, they just put wallpaper directly onto drywall. And drywall is gypsum board with that paper on it. And you try to pull the wallpaper, you pull everything off. And now you've got a real trouble mess trying to, you know, skim coat that back on. So what we do now is you paint the wall, you put a sizing on there, and it's essentially a waterproof barrier, because when you're putting wallpaper up, it's wet. So now you're putting it on a waterproof barrier. It's going to go on and it's going to come off a lot easier too. So huge improvements when it comes to that. Wallpaper is very personal, but oh my goodness, you can almost get anything you can imagine. because it's, you know, digitally printed, you can change colors for things. We actually have a wallpaper. She's a designer that does draperies and all the other things too, but she does peel and stick wallpaper, but she'll design anything and change the colors for you of any kind of wallpaper that you want. Robin Enmeyer, amazing stuff. So you're able to do that. And it is incredibly cool to personalize. I have, my sister's a furniture refinisher, and she puts them inside of cabinet doors. When you pull out the drawer and you put it on the side. So when you pull it out, you get this little eye candy to look at. Phenomenal spots for wallpaper.
How fun.
And when you're trying to put wallpaper up and figure out where it needs to go, sometimes it's not always obvious or there's not a really good breaking point. And then I kind of go back to this. You can frame in things on your wall. Picture framing is very popular right now. You've seen those accent walls that have different slats of wood on them, either vertical, horizontal, or kind of a geometric shape. Right now, we're starting to see just a picture frame on the walls all the way around. Think old dining room molding. So you can frame pieces of your wallpaper, frame it that way, or frame like a dry erase board section on your wall or a chalkboard. For kids, I always find that great to just do that. Mm-hmm. Or any kind of color blocking too, where you're putting in just a block of color and then framing down and then putting another, you know, the wallpaper behind that and then putting your artwork into that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like a specific wall or a corner. You can just kind of nook it up and have it be a little bit interesting. Arches are very popular right now too. Painting an arch on the wall is just really a way to accent something. So you've got a long hallway, you've got this arched area with your little, you know, console table. It really defines that space. It just kind of gives you that, here's a little spot that's very anchored because it's got the paint in the background just kind of holding it there. Yes.
But there's other ways to add those pops of color too, even if it's in your stand mixer, if you leave that out, or other types of decor, I guess, that you put in there to add pops.
Absolutely.
If you want reds and then someday you don't want red in there.
Yeah. Your kitchen towels, the rug, curtains that are going in the kitchen, your backsplash could have a little interest. Again, that's a little tattoo-y because you do have to keep that a little bit. It's a little bit more difficult to remove.
Yeah.
I think overall, and especially Midwestern, I think just keeping it just a little bit neutral and then punching it up with all your favorite colors in, you know, stools in the kitchen or even your island, just have fun with that. You can replace a countertop on that and make it be bold and interesting. And you can definitely change the color on the base. And then your chairs, I mean, there's a cajillion different ideas for just chairs around there that could really add to that vibe. And it sounds like some of the things you have in your home too, are just, you find that piece that you love or that piece of art that you love, and you pull a color from there and have that connect in the room somehow.
I like that idea too.
Yeah.
When I asked Jason, I said, what would you want to ask her? He's like, ask her how long a kitchen style lasts before it's outdated.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a couple things. The timeless kitchen, we're talking about those 20s cabinets and how cool that is. You know, in a 20s home with the proportions of the heights of the walls, the size of the cabinets, it's timeless, right? Some of the things that are being designed right now are this very, very white kitchen, very, very stark kitchen in a modern home is still going to fit with that modern home style. We may, you know, soften that color a little bit, but the style of the cabinets are going to go. So I think the biggest thing to think about is make sure that cabinet style that you have is connected to the style and age of the home and how it kind of fits in with that home. Going back to that Iowa home example, when they just went with a white shaker kitchen in an old home that doesn't necessarily connect at all. And not that it has to be exactly the way it was originally, but it had to have some sort of aged elements or timelessness. So if you're looking at this farmhouse that you have, and you've got all these incredibly cool decor items that are part of it, finding a color that is a little bit aged, but not too creamy, not too yellow, but just has a little bit, like linen white would be a color I'd check out from Benmore. It's got a little bit of yellow to it, but it's a little warm. White Dove is another one. Or maybe even go into a very, very soft beige. There's a color by Hirschfeld called Oak Tone. It's a mint tone in Hidden Cove. Look at those two, Oak Tone and Hidden Cove. They've got just a little bit of color, but they might just feel really natural and organic with what you're doing. But I think you had mentioned you've got more of that 80s style with those, the golden oak, right? For the cabinet.
Yeah, I just call them, they're off the shelf from Lowe's with the door inset that has a little arch at the top. So there's a little rounded and the inset, which completely dates it.
And doesn't connect to the age of the home or to any of the furnishings that you've got or your style. So maybe replacing those cabinet doors might be a great option for you. And what you are talking about, a shaker is, it's been very trendy. It's very popular, but it also is connected to what you're talking about as far as just a really timeless style. There's a new thing that's popping up right now. Instead of, most shaker cabinets have a 2-inch frame all the way around. What I'm seeing coming into style is maybe just a 1-inch frame all the way around. So still square, but just giving it a little bit more. You might even consider something that even is a flat front, if it was more of a, if you could add some funkiness into your handles, that would really connect to style. A flat front is a very, very modern vibe. And you may not be wanting to go all that way. You might want to have something that has a little bit of detail, but.
And I think too, we forget that we can mix and match. So yes. When I was looking at some cabinets the other day, all the different fronts, and there's some that look like shutters but very square, just some really cool things. And I'm thinking that would be cool in a couple of doors. And then maybe you have glass in a door or something, or a couple of doors. And then shelving, or like, just don't forget to mix and match.
I'm so glad you mentioned
that. Not everything has to be exactly the same.
Absolutely true. You're exactly right. And actually that's what's really coming in it's been here for a while, where you have it almost looks like a cabinet inside of your kitchen. It's all the same cabinetry, but it's just a different color or style. So it looks like something that was slid in there. The countertop can be a little bit different, but you're exactly right. Add on some glass fronts on places. Back in the day, the two cabinet doors under the sink had venting in them so that the towels that they put underneath there could dry. So, have a little slats in those would be really cool.
Right. Yeah.
Just adding in a little bit of that in your, the vibe that we're going with right now as a trend is, I love it. It's just more a return to authenticity if it feels good to you. Instead of, nothing wrong with going to any of these stores that go all the time that just have the generic decor. But if you, instead of just focusing only on that, just pick pieces that are loved here and there. When we came out of the pandemic, we were going into a little bit of our grandmother's vibe. We went to chintz a little bit, lace a little bit. And then that farmhouse table that has nooks in it and been beat up a little bit, that really connection and groundedness. But blend it in with a modern vibe and change it up a little bit.
Do you have a favorite kitchen project that you've done?
Yes, there's so many. One that really stands out is the hometown that my husband grew up in Wisconsin. We bought a church and we converted it into a single family home. Anyway, we opened it up, we made the kitchen, and I had a little pantry built off to the side of the kitchen with a window in it. And I'm like, this is my favorite room ever, because you can sit there, you can have your little recipes. It's off outside of the kitchen. It had a sliding glass door that was actually original to the church. So it had glass and it was just heavy and gorgeous. And it was just like popped away. The rest of it was all open, beautiful, but that little pantry area was just amazing. Loved it.
Where can people find you personally? Do you have Pinterest? Do you have social media that people follow you on, and then Hirschfields as well? Or
mostly through Hirschfields. I do have my personal stuff, and I post every once in a blue moon. I'm definitely very active on Pinterest at Wendy Dornick. But for the most part, I do stuff with Hirschfields and just kind of post what's trending there. Most of my stories revolve around either me in very unattractive working clothes, like showing you some cool stuff on how to put a roof together, because I like roofing. Don't ask me why.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It's so fun. I like blacktop, blacktop. That's how much I like paint, like putting blacktop stuff down on the seal coat. There we go.
Yeah.
I love anything to do with construction. It's so transforming. And it's like paint. Anything you put a color up and it absolutely changes everything. So it's really fun.
I love the company just because it's a Midwest company, but
that is pretty cool. It's a family-owned company. They started as a wallpaper sales team in 1895, I think, and it's currently fourth generation owned. The fifth generation children are working for the company right now, which is pretty cool. Manufacture our own paint, so it is definitely a locally owned, family-owned company. And there's fascinating stories. Hans Hirschfields is currently the owner, and his father kept a pony, a Shetland pony, below the stores in the winter. So Hans has got incredible stories about growing up in the store and having to help out. And the other wild thing about Hirschfields is its family members that have worked there forever. So part of what I do with Hirschfields is help curate stories for newsletter. So I get to talk to people about their stories, and I'm fascinated to be like, it's Jeff's dad that hired me. I'm like, so the man who's been here for 50 years, his dad hired you And then you went to church together. Oh, now then you got together. So there's three generations that have worked for Hirschfields. There's just tons of families. There's one that we interviewed up north that they, the Coffins, they have had the wife, the father, the grandpa, and the three sons now work for us. So just all in the family.
And that says something about the culture, because you don't recommend a place to work at a place that isn't great.
Some of the best people I've ever worked with, and who care, mm-hmm. who truly care. Mm-hmm. And you walk in, and there's some stores you walk in and you're going to get somebody that's been there for 15 minutes, literally 20, 30 years. They've seen a lot of things. They know how to prevent problems. They can answer questions, and they're just great people.
So Wendy, to wrap it up here, do you have just some helpful advice or anything that you want to share with us?
Absolutely. Trust your gut when it comes to paint colors. You know, don't force yourself into stuff. You will know. You absolutely will know. And ask people that are at Hirschfields. Truly, it is a great resource. There's a lot of stores where you can walk in with your pillow and go, hey, help me find a color that works with this. Very, very helpful there. Yeah. And they've seen it. They know what's trending. They know what's going to work. They understand undertones of colors, which are usually a big trip up. So stop on in, talk to them. Amazingly helpful. Great people.
Thank you for sharing your expertise and your energy, and for really just giving us the permission to think about what we love instead of what's in style, what exactly is the in thing right now that I should do.
Exactly. Do what you love. Be authentic. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thanks, Wendy.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. So painting is not like getting a tattoo. Thank you, Wendy, for giving us permission to paint personality into our kitchens with no regrets. We'll hear from Wendy again this spring because she's agreed to come back and share those recipes from her circa 1973 elementary school cookbook and her great-grandmother's recipe box. Check out this episode's show notes for the links to Hirschfields online and social media. And we'll keep this kitchen conversation going in an upcoming episode with designer Carissa Trigstad, as she walks us through kitchen trends and timeless classics, and she's going to share an update on Lazy Susan. Do you remember her? If you liked this episode, please share it with your friends and rate this podcast. It's really a lot like telling your friends about which shows you're binge watching, and word of mouth is really the primary source that I depend on for growing this podcast and this community that surrounds it. Thank you for being here today. I'm Stacey Mergenthal. Sweet wishes.